Another 2-2 and a swing and a weak ground ball towards third. Charging Rendon, fires to first in time to get Marisnyk, and that's the ball game. The Washington Nationals come to Houston, and they take both. And the Nationals are going home singing, up 2-0.
With Game 2 in the books, the World Series heads to Washington. But the Astros are battling more than just the Nationals. After Houston's assistant GM drew ire for his treatment of female reporters over a domestic violence issue, the team immediately rose to his defense. ESPN's Jeff Passan explains why he wasn't surprised, what the Astros' response says about the team's executive culture, and what might happen next. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Thursday, October 24th, and this is ESPN Daily, presented by Dell Small Business. Jeff, you're in Houston right now. We're in the middle of the World Series, but everyone's still talking about an incident that happened in the Astros clubhouse on Saturday. What happened?
So right after the Astros clinched the American League pennant, there's a huge celebration going on.
Let's go win the World Series.
And in the middle of the clubhouse is an assistant general manager for the Astros named Brandon Taubman. He's a guy who's really behind the scenes. He's the number two man behind the general manager, Jeff Luhnow. The public doesn't know very much about him, and their introduction to him wasn't great.
Last night, Sports Illustrated reported that on Saturday night, in the clubhouse, after the Astros clinched the American League pennant, assistant general manager Brandon Taubman, addressing three female reporters, shouted, quote, "Thank God we got Osuna. I'm so glad we got Osuna."
Now, Osuna is Roberto Osuna, the Astros closer. Houston acquired him last year at the trade deadline while he was still serving a 75-game suspension for a domestic violence incident. And when Brandon Taubman shouted this, he was essentially gloating and using the opportunity to say to the group of women who were standing there, "We did the right thing by going out and trading for someone who had been accused of what he had been accused of." And so the story comes out on Monday, 2 days later. The Astros don't comment in it, but then they release a statement afterward.
The Astros, in a statement, had this to say: "The story posted by Sports Illustrated is misleading and completely irresponsible. An Astros player was being asked questions about a difficult outing. Our executive was supporting the player during a difficult time. His comments had everything to do about the game situation that just occurred and nothing else."
They go on to say that Brandon Taubman wasn't talking to the reporters themselves. He was yelling across the room to Roberto Osuna, who had happened to blow the save that night. And the whole thing, Mina, on its face was ridiculous. But when you understand who the Houston Astros are, it really wasn't that ridiculous at all.
The team could have easily come out and said, "We take this seriously, we're investigating it." Instead, they doubled down and called the reporter a liar just right away.
And they did that despite knowing that there were other reporters present who were probably going to confirm the story. But this is the Houston Astros, Mina. And this is something that has been building up for upward of a decade right now. Because this is an organization that does not care about what the outside world thinks. And in terms of baseball, it has absolutely behooved them. They are, in a lot of ways, the model organization for developing players and winning baseball games. But when it comes to dealing with people, this was simply another incident in a long line of them where they look at the perception out in the public and say, "It does not matter. We are going to do things how we do them. And that's that."
Let's back up to where this might have begun. When did Brandon Taubman become part of this organization?
Can we actually go back to 2003? Because that's where this whole story starts. Jeff Luhnow worked at McKinsey and Company. He was a consultant. He started businesses, and he loved baseball and ended up getting hired by the St. Louis Cardinals. And over the next 8 years, Jeff Luhnow, a complete outsider to baseball, turned the Cardinals into a player development machine. In 2011, he gets hired to run the Houston Astros. He says, I'm going to do this differently than they have done for the 100-something years that baseball has been played. They fired a number of their scouts, almost their entire scouting department, in order to focus on research and development. And all of a sudden, very slowly, you could see that the Astros were getting good. They got really good in a hurry. And as he's starting to build a winner, he hires a kid off of Wall Street named Brandon Taubman. He had worked in investment banking and he had played DFS and was really good at it. And he was exactly the type of person that the Astros like to hire.
You're describing a team that basically got really good really quickly through a very unique, novel approach. Why do you think those factors contributed to the culture that we're seeing now?
I think that success in this case bred contempt toward the outside, right? Because in baseball, you have these norms that have been around forever. And Jeff Luhnow and Brandon Taubman, by extension, scoff at norms. They say, just because something's been done a particular way doesn't mean that's how we should do it. We should do it the way that we believe and that we feel is right. And if it offends people and if it bothers people, oh well, they're not us. When you have a team that's as insular as they are and that's as single-minded as they are, you run the risk of losing perspective on the fact that what the world thinks does matter. And that's where Brandon Taubman got himself in trouble.
How has that contempt for the outside manifested itself before this incident?
Whether it was barring a Detroit Free Press reporter from entering the clubhouse this year because a player didn't like him. They've done this with impunity for a long enough time where presumably they felt like they could get away with it. When Jeff Luhnow went out and dealt for Roberto Osuna, who then was suspended for 75 games for a domestic violence incident, he traded for him in the middle of that suspension. And people around baseball were shocked by this. Like, it was believed that Roberto Osuna was damaged goods. But Jeff Luhnow looks at the baseball world like investors look at the real world. Roberto Osuna was a distressed asset, and he could get him cheap. And he didn't worry what people around the team thought, because there were people in that front office who disagreed with it. And there were people in that clubhouse, players, who vehemently disagreed with it. But he went and did it anyway, because he felt like getting Roberto Osuna was going to make the Astros likelier to win another championship after they had won one already in 2017.
We'll return after a break. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
So the Astros immediately put out a statement accusing the reporter of fabricating the story. Brandon Taubman puts out a statement in which he denies that he had bad intentions. The Astros owner puts out a statement that honestly doesn't really say anything. The only person in the organization who I thought actually took some responsibility for it was the manager, A.J. Hinch, who came out and said he was very disappointed.
It's unfortunate. It's uncalled for. You know, for me as a leader in this organization, down here in the clubhouse, on the field, I take everything that happens in the clubhouse to heart. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a player, a coach, a manager, any of you members of the media should ever feel like when you come into our clubhouse that you're going to be uncomfortable or disrespected.
And that's not a surprise because A.J. Hinch is seen far and wide as the person in the Astros organization with a conscience. And to see him come out, not in open defiance of the rest of the organization, but certainly not buying into the narrative that they're trying to sell, it was nice because it showed that there is humanity in the Astros organization. And the humanity resides in the clubhouse. It resides with the players. It resides with the manager. A sad part of this is that the Astros, the baseball team, are incredibly likable. They've got Jose Altuve, who's maybe the most likable player in the entire sport. And they've got Gerrit Cole, who's incredible and thoughtful and so good at what he does. And they've got Alex Bregman, who's one of the biggest personalities in the game. You want to root for the Houston Astros, the baseball team. The Houston Astros, the organization, make it really difficult.
Do you think the backlash over this incident has been a distraction to the team in any way?
It's tough to say. They know about it. And I say they know about it because after I wrote my column, I heard from three players saying thanks. So it's clear that they understand what happened and that they believe Brandon Taubman was in the wrong in this situation. Now, does that mean that it's a distraction? I'll be honest. Baseball players and athletes in general have such an incredible ability to focus and to clear things from their mind that I have trouble thinking that when they're on the field, that Brandon Taubman's going to be the thing that's in your head. But we also have to understand that these are human beings and that even the smallest thing that takes away from their routine or gets in their head can be something that has an effect.
You mentioned that they approached acquiring Osuna almost like they were on Wall Street, like he was a distressed asset. Has that paid off for them?
Let's remember, on the night Brandon Taubman shouted, "I'm so effing glad we got Osuna," he had given up a game-tying two-run home run to DJ LeMahieu that could have clinched the pennant right there. And they needed Jose Altuve to come back in the bottom of the inning and hit his own home run in order to advance to the World Series. But by and large, yeah, Roberto Osuna has been a value add for the Astros organization as a baseball player. And from what I've been told by multiple players in the clubhouse, he's been really good teammate too. And that, you know, the difficulty in any story where something as grievous as domestic violence is involved is the idea of a second chance. There are a lot of people in the game who do not believe Roberto Osuna should have been given a second chance or an opportunity to pitch at all. Now, it takes me back to a conversation I had with a general manager on the day that the Astros traded for Osuna. And this is somebody who I believe is a good person. And thinks with conscience in addition to the desire to win. And I said to him, would you have traded for Osuna? And he said, no. And then he came in and said something that I think is really the encapsulation of the story of the Houston Astros. He said, maybe that's why they win, and I don't.
I'll be right back with one more story. Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers in an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/passtheprotection and tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now's your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/passtheprotection. That was a story you needed to know. Now here's another one I want you to know. Tonight, Washington and Minnesota are meeting up for Thursday night football. And I'm not going to lie, it's probably not going to be a good game. But I'll be watching because, one, I have a sickness and will watch any football, even week four preseason. And two, I love revenge games. Anytime a player faces off against his old team, I am in. And we've got some great ones here. On one side, there's Case Keenum returning to the scene of the Minneapolis Miracle. And on the other, even more revengey, there's Kirk Cousins versus the team that drafted him, franchised him twice, and then broke it off. He did not like that. Now, Kirk Cousins has had a bit of a difficult start this year, and after a particularly rough outing against the Chicago Bears, he apologized to his star receiver, Adam Thielen, on his weekly radio show.
I really want to apologize to him because there's too many opportunities where we could have hit him on Sunday. And post-game, when I talk to the media, I always say, hey, until I watch the film, it's hard for me to really give you a straight answer. Well, now it's Tuesday night. I've watched the film. And the reality is there were opportunities for him.
This prompted head coach Mike Zimmer to say, maybe he should get off the podcast. Here's what's happened since. The Vikings have gone 3-0, and Kirk Cousins became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for more than 300 yards with a passer rating of at least 135 in three consecutive games. Now, I'm not saying correlation implies causation, but here are the facts. Before Kirk Cousins did that podcast, he ranked 32nd QBR. Since then, second. You could chart that up to the Vikings' increased use of play action or their more aggressive play calling, but I think the analytics are pretty clear. Go on a podcast, atone, profit. So without naming names, consider this an open invitation to any NFL quarterback who wants to come on ESPN Daily and apologize to his wide receiver, as well as an added incentive to watch Kirk Cousins tonight. He struggled in primetime throughout his career, but if he breaks the trend against his old squad, we'll know why. Revenge. And Washington having a bottom 10 defense, but mostly revenge. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.